Welcome to the Watchers of the Skies program. I'm Carlos Campo, president here at Ashland University, coming to you from the JDM studios right here at Ashland with my good friend, Dennis Montecruces. Dennis, how are you?
I'm doing great.
You know, this show is going to be unlike anyone we've ever done. We are in transition, and I would suggest that everyone in the world is in transition, but ours is rather stark in some ways. But we're here supported by some very talented young people, so let's call them out. We've got Ellie, Jackson, Matt, Abigail, and Michaela running the show. You know, this stark transition we're talking about, Dennis, refers also to a man who's named John Parrish Petey. Do you know this man?
Not personally, but I've heard of the man.
Yes.
I wonder what he's doing.
Well, I know what he is doing starting June 1st. He is going to be the new president here at Ashland University. And so we're welcoming John Petey and his wife Nancy to our community. We're excited about them coming and wishing them the greatest success. But that does mean that the two of us are a couple of washed up old rags. And not exactly that, but we're hoping to welcome folks when they come to visit us at the Museum of the Bible. So myself and Karen and Chief of Staff Aaron Ross and his wife Kristen and their two children, we're all headed to the Museum of the Bible, where I'll be able to continue my service to the community there as a CEO. So looking forward to visiting with folks from D.C. But we thought we'd be hopefully not too self-indulgent, but maybe taking some time to do a memoir of sorts and look back at our time at Ashland. We want to give our watchers and our listeners maybe some insight into living in this town, knowing more about the university that we've come to love in our time here as well, Dennis. So you've known the Midwest because you've spent some time, you know, of course, at Notre Dame, you know South Bend. Maybe talk to us just a little bit about the nuances, maybe starker differences between living in a place like South Bend, which is certainly a college town, coming to Ashland. Let folks know how long you've been here and give us an overview of what that's been like.
Right. So I've been here 5 years, okay. And I had been in South Bend for, I think, 15 years or so.
Okay.
I mean, give or take, but basically 15 years before that. And you know, I make jokes about the weather all the time here, and the weather is pretty similar. But that aside, the one worst thing about South Bend is we get lake effect snow.
Right.
We don't get that here. So
no.
Those of you who hate lake effect snow, you're all right here. We're below the band. Right. But aside from, you know, the weather being similar, and, you know, of course, there are, let's say, historic similarities, that these are kind of, you know, broadly Rust Belt areas. It's a very different experience being here in Ashland, Ohio, as opposed to South Bend.
Interesting. Tell us about that.
Yes. So I think because, well, South Bend is a bit bigger.
Yes.
And
50,000 or so in South Bend? Is it
no,
not quite that
I would
big?
Say, well, there's two aspects to it. So I think it's about 80,000, let's say, in the city proper. But like we have Mansfield and Worcester, but they're a bit further away. I mean, they're like 20 plus minutes in either direction. So You essentially have attached to South Bend. I mean, it's not even always where the border is between that and Mishawaka. And so it's maybe 150,000, 200,000 if you talk about the whole area.
Got
and
it.
Again, it's contiguous. It's not there's you're not driving 20 minutes to get from one to the other. Mm-hmm. So it has a very different feel. More it has some urban aspects to it. More racially mixed. So I mean, and you also well, actually, I'm not sure exactly here, but I mean, it's a small enough population, but you have a lot of different ethnic neighborhoods there. So it's not just, let's say, you know, white and black and Hispanic, but you have like a Polish area in town, you have Serbian area and so on. You have some Bosnian. So, I mean, you have all kinds of, let's say, European historic groups as well there. So it has, again, more of an urban feel to it. Here, I mean, it really feels quaint in a good way. I mean, so I don't, you know, it's not exactly Mayberry, but it's pretty darn close. It's as close to Mayberry by far as any place I've ever been. And it's kind of refreshing. I mean, I've lived mostly in really large cities in my life. So I, you know, lived in New York for more than a decade, in non-consecutive, but over a decade. Lived in Southern California. Of course, we both knew each other in Las Vegas and lived a long time there. So this is quite different, but I really like it. So it's you know, it's a very quiet. I mean, I'd come, well, again, South Bend's reasonably, you know, half urban, let's say. Mm. And New York, of course, is as urban as you can possibly get.
Right.
Unless you're from Mexico City, maybe, or Tokyo. I mean, it's a huge city. So, yeah, I mean, it's a very nice place. It's a great place to raise a family. Yeah, so a lot to really like here. And again, very peaceful. So if you've got high blood pressure, move to Ashland. This is the spot for you.
The overall pace of life?
Yes. Yeah, very slow. Our mayor jokes about rush minute. So, yeah, I mean, it really is just super easy to get around. And, again, it's nice. So, I mean, I when I lived in New York, I really got spoiled as far as, you know, food goes.
Oh, my goodness.
Lived in a little Italy section there.
Wow.
So, you know, this is not awesome as far as that goes. But the great thing is you're only an hour away from Columbus or Cleveland.
Yes.
So, you know, if you have a hankering for something kind of fancy or something that's, you know, maybe a little bit more unusual, you're not far from someplace where you can get it.
Well, it's interesting. We were talking earlier about a very popular truck stopover called Goasis, but Ashton does feel a little bit like an oasis of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
And as you've talked about, its geographical unity, as it were, is maybe a factor in all of that. It's called the world headquarters for nice people. You know, this whole idea that the Midwest in general has been inoculated, I guess, maybe geographically from some of the changes that have occurred in America. Is that a fair assessment of Ashland as well, or is that?
It really does feel that way to me, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I again, and even as I said, having lived in South Bend and been to surrounding communities, I mean, there's Amish communities around and Mennonite communities. But yeah, I even in slightly more rural areas, I mean, it's, the rural areas there feel more southern, for, you know, for good, for ill, whatever.
Sure.
But it has a different feeling than the, you know, again, it doesn't exactly have a rural feel here. It's more just small town, but Midwest small town, not, let's say, you know, the extended South.
Right. Well, we asked earlier, you've been here 5 years. If someone's visiting town for the first time, what, make a recommendation as far as maybe a restaurant recommendation. Where's your go-to here in Ashland?
My go-to? Well, I'm a Chinese food fan, so I go to Great Dragon. That's like a staple for me.
Okay.
Is to go there.
Nice.
I've gone to some of the downtown ones, but less frequently. But they're not bad either. Uniontown has some nice things. So that's, I think, good for variety. But like staples, I mean, again, maybe from my time in New York, it's
right. Not quite there. What about just in terms of in your leisure time? If you say to someone, you know, if you came to Ashland, you settled here, mm-hmm. here's some of the things that you've done in your leisure time that would be Ashland-centric that you would think might be of interest to our listeners?
Something that I haven't done, but I wish I had.
Mm.
I think I looked into it a little bit too late, would be balloon riding.
So doing
a balloon ride.
Yes.
So that's something that it's a regret that I haven't done,
but
that I should have done. Other things that are of interest, I would say, for me, kind of a fun thing is that we have a monastery nearby.
Hmm.
So I'm Orthodox now, but even if you're not Orthodox, it's kind of interesting that you have a monastery, so you can check that out, you can stay there, visit that. So that's kind of an unusual thing that most places you're not going to have access to, but you actually do have access to.
Right.
Over here.
Have you ever visited the farmers markets around town when they're going, especially in the summertime?
I have not, although I've done other farmers markets. So
okay.
That is a nice experience.
It is.
We have that in South Bend.
Okay.
So I've done that quite a few times there. So apparently that's something that you've enjoyed.
Yes, definitely part of our regular flow, especially when summer hits and they're much more common. We have a lot of Amish in the community.
Yes.
and they'll come in with fresh products as well. And it's just, frankly, right. A great community gathering.
And I would say, again, kind of this thing I'm importing from South Bend experience, but yeah, Amish communities are really fascinating. I mean, food, if you like buying, you know, kind of home-crafted woodwork.
Right.
There's often a lot of really interesting things there, too.
For sure.
So, yes, that's another again, general Midwest thing that should be exploited.
Well, let's just ask some other specific questions about, you know, what will you miss most about this transition away from Ashland? What are some of the things that come to mind? I mean, there's some obvious ones, but...
Right. Well, one thing that's interesting, so different places I've lived, depending on where it is, I would say, well, I missed, like with New York, I miss the food.
Right.
I miss the cultural offerings.
Right.
When I leave here, I'm going to miss people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, by far and away, that's the thing. So the couple of churches I've been to, there's a lot of, you know, really wonderful people that I've met there that I'm definitely going to miss. Of course, I'm going to miss you, but you're also fleeing, so, you know, I can blame that on you as much as blaming it on me. But you know, you and Karen and, you know, some others in our circle who are really delightful people. And the students, too. I mean, this is one of the friendliest student bodies I've ever been affiliated with. I mean, I think in general students have been friendly in my life, but I mean, especially here, I think there's, you know, real, again, this, you know, it's, you keep repeating it, but it's true, you know, the world headquarters of NICE, I mean, there really is something to that.
Right, you know, you kind of wonder about this whole idea of legacy. These students, of course, have a legacy that goes back to, you know, their family roots here, and what I've found, Dennis, is, you know, part of it is this connection to the land, as strange as that might sound, I know that there's so much talk about diversity in our country, and you would never hear someone talk about the power that a student who has a connection to the land has. You know, in terms of if you want to build a diverse student body, I've never ever heard someone say, we want someone who knows what it is to put something in the ground, to nurture it, to harvest it, and to eat it. And that might sound unusual, but there are skill sets, attitudes, and experiences that student would have that, to me, match anything that what you would say a typical diverse student would bring to the to the mix, right? So I know as a Hispanic person, people very often say, well, you know, what unifies Hispanic people most of all? And language, of course, comes to mind, but cultural things like family certainly come to mind. Well, that's something that we see in this community for sure.
Mm-hmm.
When I talk to students here, one of the things that I hear repeated time and time again is, I'm excited about graduating, I'm excited about moving on with my career, but I'm not going to leave my family.
Right.
I mean, I don't know that I've heard that in any other place that I've worked as much as I've heard it here in Ashland. I mean, they just literally say, that's off limits. I know I'm going to stay close to my family because that's just a given. And I think that's a wonderful legacy that I think plays into all the things that we're talking about, this hardworking, humble group of people who've lived here for hundreds of years, you know, I think are reflected in their progeny. You know, most of our students come from a 50-mile radius from Ashland. And so I would agree with your assessment that there is that element. How about, you know, you talked about the weather, but I know for me that was a real change. I hadn't lived somewhere that truly had four seasons. Right. But, and maybe it was because COVID hit and I felt there were a lot of isolated times and moments where you had a time to reflect. But as we reflected, Karen and I in particular, on the movement of the seasons and kind of the wonderful rebirth that's inherent and maybe, you know, expected in ways that are really powerful when winters are hard, spring is longed for in ways that we hadn't experienced before. But I think that thought that was just a powerful aspect of living in Ashland as well. But I would agree with all of those assessments. You know, I think about things as simple as apple picking. We were just at a local place not too long ago that had, you know, fresh pressed apple cider and apple picking, and they make these phenomenal donuts. I don't want to drool onto the microphone, but, you know, I'm not impressed by donuts all that often, but these were rather remarkable. And, you know, just to be able to walk into a place where the wood floor is probably, you know, 150 years old and experience something like pressed apple cider and all the rest, you know, the jams and, you know, going blueberry picking. I'll never forget that as kind of a wonderful moment where it was kind of a rainy day. And I think I was the only person in the blueberry patch at the time. And it was late in the season. And the guy pretty much said, yeah, just go out there. And there's not much left out there, but whatever you can pick, go ahead and take it and just go home. You know, don't even think twice about it. You know, those are the kinds of things, you know, we'll often drive by a stand that will be just on the honor system, right? So the food sitting out there, and there's a cash box next to it. I know there's a local farm, same kind of thing, where they actually have a refrigerator that's full of dairy products. Just walk in, write down what you've taken, leave the money in the cash box, and walk out.
Right. No, I've come across that here as well. And, kind of funny, you know, like in New York, I remember I went to, some pizza place, and they said, you know, I asked for water, and he said, hey, you want water? You bring your own cup, you know. So, okay, great.
Sorry.
Yeah, complete, 180 from over here. I mean, again, just very, very gracious. And, you know, the businesses that I go to, I mean, you know, I feel welcomed. I mean, it's like, you know, not quite family, but I mean, on that continuum.
It really is
true.
It.
Yeah.
It is. Well, we have a few minutes left. Let's say a few words of advice. Maybe that's not the right word, but you've been here 5 years. Mm-hmm. And say it broadly. If you want to maybe say one to the community and then say one to the university, what advice would you give Ashland as a community, if any? And what advice would you give to the university as you depart and we look toward the success of this place, both the college and the community that we have loved so much? What would you say?
Gosh, I mean, to the community, I mean, I want to say just keep doing what you're doing. I mean, don't...
Yes.
Maybe it would be to the mayor to not get sucked up in a desire to, fully embrace modernity.
Mm.
What you got here, I mean, there's the rest of the United States that can be what it is. Be super careful about growth. I mean, it's kind of a shame to say that, but it could be very easy to grow out of what we've got right now.
So special.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, really cherish this. I mean, again, there are all these bright, shiny objects that you might think, well, it'd be nice to have this, nice to have that, but it's pretty hard to put the genie back in the, or the toothpaste back in the tube, let's say.
Right.
Genie will find its way back to the bottle, but the toothpaste won't get back to the tube, and once that's gone, I mean, it's gone. So this is kind of a treasure. I mean, it's a jewel. Do what you can to keep it. There's always going to be things that can be improved, but this is, don't break it, right?
Right.
Don't break this trying to fix, the 1% of things that maybe could be improved.
Good advice. What about to the university? What would you say to the university community?
Yeah, so it's tough. I mean, I would say, for the locals, of course, just, be yourself, make this place better. To those who are coming in, I mean, it's, try to appreciate it for what it is. So, I mean, again, I mentioned the thing about, well, I was complaining a little about, food, but, you can go to this place and that place. Honor what this place is. I mean, you're going to have maybe not a unique experience, but pretty close to one. I mean, there are not going to be a lot of places like this.
Right.
So embrace it. Let this place become a part of you. I mean, it's a special place, and that is different from the rest of the world or the rest of the United States in many respects. Great, right? We've got the rest of the United States. You don't need to make it in wherever you're from's image. Not that you're not going to contribute. So
certainly.
Be you, and you're going to, of course, be an influence to the people who are regional, and they'll learn as well. But really, really embrace what this place is, rather than what it's not that you might have wished for. So, yeah, this is of course just always a great time in your life as a student. So embrace it. But again, really, really enjoy this. I mean, if you're going to move on to Cleveland or, some big city or to a different part of the country, this is going to be something that you'll look back on. And, suck the marrow, just really enjoy it for everything that it is.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I have found a new generation of young people. I'd say graduates within the last 5 years who are coming back to Ashland very intentionally. And you mentioned earlier about raising a child here. I mean, when you talk about a place to raise a child and feeling safe in every regard, I think about the school systems. Steve Paramore, one of our good friends, has done a phenomenal job as superintendent of schools here locally. But I've met the teachers here, too, and the way they care about the children. We have accent on the individual as kind of our guiding principle, one of our founding values here at Ashland. But I'd say the same thing. And, in our last few seconds here, I would say that some of our earliest documents said that we were trying to teach self-governance in a culture of love and respect. I don't think I've seen the word love connected to a university environment in the last 50 years. Yeah. You don't use the L word. But I will say that I have felt that, and I have felt loved by students, faculty, and staff on our campus, the administration, the board of trustees. Not by everyone, of course, ever, but respect, I would say, almost everyone. And that, to me, is a dividing line at Ashland. I have always felt respected at this institution, and I really do hearken back to our student body. They do not agree with me. They do not agree with things that are happening every time, but I've never felt disrespected. I've never seen a student turn their back on a faculty or staff member here. I've never, even in times of protest, and there have been protests on our campus, but still not disrespecting. When someone else has something to say, they pause and listen. So that is one of the things I will leave behind and pray that that is something that Ashland never loses, its commitment to self-governance, which I think is a noble ideal, and this idea of having a culture of love and respect, which goes back, of course, to our Christian tradition, you know,
right.
Our tradition that love one another, as simple as it sounds, is the hardest thing in the world in some ways. So, Ashland, keep doing it well. And until then, keep writing to us here at president@ashland.edu. Keep watching the skies along with us and keep tuning in, whether we're here for just a few more weeks. Remember that you can find us on Spotify and Apple and lots of those other places too. But keep Ashland in your thoughts and prayers. It's a time of transition, and we're grateful that you were with us. We'll talk to you next time here on the Watches of the Skies program.